views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Welcome. So happy to have you join us here today, whether it's on KKNW, AM 1150 here in the Seattle area, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I'm really excited about our guest today. And before I tell you who she is, I'm going to give you a little teaser. If you remember recently when Jean Houston was on the show, Jean said, you know, that she was really, really excited about a new book, really excited about some new research that was coming out, but she couldn't tell us too much about it. Now, you know, Jean Houston, she's been around for half a century as a leader in the human potential field. She has seen a lot. She's written 35 books, and she was really, really excited about this. And what I'm talking about is Lynn McTaggart's new book, The Power of Eight. And that may come through backwards, I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm so excited to have Lynn here today. Lynn is one of the central voices in the consciousness movement. And she's somebody who's after my own heart because she actually has the scientific bent that she combines with the consciousness or even spirituality bent. And she combines those two and she looks where these two things meet. So, she is an award-winning author, and she's got 7 books out now, I guess is what it is, including The Field, The Intention Experiment, The Bond, and her latest book that I just showed you, The Power of Eight. She's the editorial director of What Doctors Don't Tell You, and it's one of the world's most highly praised health publications, and it's online, and I tell you, you know, it is scathingly truthful. I'm so happy to have Lynn here today from London all the way to Seattle. Welcome, Lynn. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you, Christine.
You know, I've been following your work for a long time and love your books. You know, but I'm always curious to find out how people got from wherever they were in their lives to what they're doing now. So I'm kind of curious, how did you go from journalist to looking at intention?
A weird segue, I gotta tell you. I was very interested in one thing that I discovered when editing our magazine, What Doctors Don't Tell You, which we've been carrying out as a publication for and publishing for 27 years. Uh-huh. And I kept coming across, this was in the mid-90s, I kept coming across these very good studies of spiritual healing. And I kept thinking to myself, wait a minute, if you can send a thought to someone else and make them better, well, that in itself undermines everything we think about how the universe works. So I set out to really find out why, you know, and I thought I might be looking for something like human energy fields. Uh-huh. So I spoke to a number of frontier scientists, and I quickly discovered that they were all talking about one little piece of the same thing, which was a complete revolution in the way we see the world. A completely new view of science and of how we work. And uh-huh. So, and yet they hadn't been able to really synthesize that because scientists don't like to move beyond their own little experimental patch. And they also like to talk in code. They talk in math. So I realized, well, if I was going to make sense of this, I was going to have to synthesize it myself. So that became my book, The Field. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about the idea that had been really a bit of leftover business there, that thoughts are an actual something with the capacity to change physical matter. Mm-hmm. This was in the early 2000s by that time. And there was a lot floating around about the law of attraction, and then the movie The Secret came along. And I basically just had a lot of inconvenient questions. I kept thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. If thoughts are so powerful, if a thought is a thing that affects other things, then why are we using it to manifest parking spaces? Why aren't we using it to cure cancer? Right. Why aren't we using this to heal the world? So I decided to test this. I was kind of skeptical about the whole thing. That was that journalistic background, really, coming, kicking in. And, you know, I started life as an investigative reporter. So that has never left me, that kind of necessary search for the truth and facts, et cetera.
And so skepticism is so important when seeking the truth.
Yeah, it is. It is. You have to really weigh things up. And I try to do that, and I try to put in proof all the time. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to test this to the limit. So I thought to myself, well, by that time, my books were in 30 languages. And also I had readers, you know, around the world. And I also knew a lot of frontier scientists. So I thought, well, if I just put these things together, these two elements together, I'll have the biggest global laboratory in the world. Uh-huh. So that's what I thought. I thought, well, I'm going to put intention to the ultimate test. I'm going to do these great big experiments. And so we started out with using credible scientists in prestigious universities like University of California, University of Arizona, et cetera, Penn State University. And every so often, I'd ask one of the scientists who was working in consciousness research to set up a well-controlled experiment. So we started out small with seeds and leaves and things like that, and then progressed to water, trying to make seeds grow faster, trying to change the cellular property of a leaf, trying to change the pH of water, all that kind of stuff. And then we segued onto more intricate experiments, trying to lower violence in war-torn areas or violent areas, and also trying to heal somebody. We did an experiment trying to heal a Gulf veteran of PTSD. Uh-huh. And out of those 30 experiments, 26 have shown measurable, positive, significant effects. And I've had teams of scientists looking at this from different angles.
But and as a former statistician, you know, that says a lot. You know, that is a huge percentage. That's like what? Two-thirds, three-quarters?
Yeah, there's three-quarters. And I mean, the thing is, there's no drug out there that has that consistent effect.
Right.
You know, there's no pharmaceutical agent out there that can be demonstrated to work that well. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the really interesting part of the story. The interesting part of the story came when I started surveying my participants, particularly after the peace experiments, and I found that they were being affected too in ways that almost eclipsed what was happening with the targets.
Okay, so let me get this straight, Lynn. What you're saying is you had people involved in creating intention for something, and it wasn't just the people who were the recipients or the group of people who were the recipients. It was the people who were sending it.
Absolutely. And it was weird because their intentions, what was happening to them was mirroring what they sent their intention for. So, for instance, if they were sending peace, their lives became more peaceful. They were connecting more with people they didn't get along with. They were, you know, making up with that estranged spouse or that kid they couldn't connect with, or that not so nice boss. And they were also, this was about, and I surveyed them, by the way, this wasn't just a feeling. I had about 15,000 on our first peace intention experiment. And I got back, you know, I sent out surveys to them, mainly to see if the internet connection worked or, you know, because we were doing that experiment, that first peace intention experiment over the internet. And I just wanted to find out how it was for them. And I got back these amazing responses that basically indicated, you know, things like I felt I was part of a higher network, You know, I felt like I'm in the tractor beam of Star Trek. You know, I was crying uncontrollably. I had tingles up and down my body. I had unbelievable, sort of almost unbearable feelings of energy. And then talking about, you know, I feel more in love with everyone I come in contact with. 40% of our recipients said that. 40% of the people responding said that. And that was thousands and thousands. Yeah, huge. And then we found something similar with the healing intention experiment for the guy with PTSD. First of all, he never went back for any more treatment after that. He went on traveling. I mean, this was a guy who was so hypervigilant. He had to sit with his back against the wall in any room he went into and just scan it for problems and any threats. It was somebody who'd come back from the Gulf War with terrible PTSD. And yet he went off traveling, got married, had a child. He was good after that. But again, not the interesting part of the story. The more interesting part of the story was the fact that there were all these amazing spontaneous healings among the thousands of participants. You know, my knee pain is completely gone. I used to have gut problems. They're all gone. You know, feeling really great. You know, I had an accident, couldn't move my shoulder. It's moving normally now. You know, on and on and on and on like that. It was just incredible. So it made me realize there's some sort of mirror effect we're talking about.
Right, right. What you give, you receive, essentially, on some level.
Yes, and that's not just a homily, you know, this kind of feel-good statement. Yeah, it's good to give. I mean, this is absolutely necessary. We've demonstrated that really the effect on the recipients, or the senders, actually almost outstrips the effect on the recipients.
Fascinating, fascinating. We have to go to a quick break, but when we return, Lynn, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners what kind of effort it took to create these kinds of effects. More with Lynn McTaggart here in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck. Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire? Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a 4-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or call 425-999-9836.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Isn't it time to put your health first, to give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled MICHEL.com/book.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show, here with Lynn McTaggart. Lynn, I'm so fascinated by your new book, The Power of Eight. And you were just talking about how you'd done these large intention experiments and how it seemed to have the mirror effect, in that the people who were sending were actually receiving perhaps so much more than the actual recipient. I'm kind of curious, how long did these experiments take, and how long did it take for some of these people to get rid of knee pain or to find greater peace in their life or whatever the effect was?
Well, the shocking thing is that I never had them do more than 10 minutes of intention.
Okay.
And the responses were usually immediate. Uh-huh. Sometimes it might be 24 hours, but usually it was fairly immediate.
Interesting. So you did some large experiments, several of them. And I love the fact that you worked with these researchers such as Gary Schwartz and Konstantin Korotkov and Bill Tiller. I mean, they're like the premier scientists in this realm. Whatever got you to go from large, like more is better kind of thing, to small groups of eight?
Well, happy accident, Christine. I mean, it was 2008. I ran a few of these big experiments. We were getting some good responses. And I thought to myself, well, I guess maybe I should run some workshops on this. I knew a lot about what intention techniques work best because I'd studied them with intention masters. I'd also looked at, you know, master healers, Buddhist monks, et cetera, to see what disciplines worked the best. And I'd also looked at what worked best in the laboratory. And I distilled them into a simple program people could follow, powering up, I called it. But I thought, right, okay, I can have a workshop, but how would I run the workshop? How would I show people that intention works over a weekend? You know, I hadn't run many workshops before. I was a journalist. So I'm sitting there with my husband one day and I say to him, well, I don't know. I'll put them in groups of eight or something and we'll have them send a healing intention to somebody in the group with a health challenge. And he said, yeah, I like it. The Power of Eight. You know, he's a good headline writer.
So
we did these. We had our first one in Chicago. We put people in groups of eight. We asked them to choose somebody in the group with a healing challenge of some sort, health challenge.
Right.
The whole group, you know, we were telling them, formulate the same intention statement, all hold hands in a circle. I am completely making this up as I go along. I have no idea what's going to work. And I thought, it'll probably be a little bit like meditation, you know, a little feel good exercise. Everybody
sure,
will
sure.
feel a little bit relaxed from it, et cetera. And we asked them to come back the next day and say how it was. The people who were the recipients line up, they get the mic in turn, and they say things like this. You know, I've had migraines my entire life and they're gone. I have terrible arthritis and I'm feeling normal today. I have no pain at all. There was a woman with scoliosis who said, my pain is completely gone. And her daughter wrote me the month later to say, her back is so much straighter that we've had to change the rear view mirror in her car. We had this for like an hour. And I completely dismissed this as placebo effect. I said, this is rubbish.
Let's back it up a minute. Did you tell people that there was the potential that they themselves would receive benefit?
No, I didn't tell them anything. I didn't tell them anything.
So
I just said,
this surprised them. This was not something that they expected.
This was not. I did not prime them in any way. You know, that's like psychology priming. I didn't prime them in any way because I had no idea what was going to happen. And I never do prime people. I just say, let's do the Power of Eight group. And it shocked me as much. And in fact, I didn't like it because I felt, wait a minute, I'm not an Eric Pearl. I'm not a healer. I'm a journalist, and I'm trying to do these big experiments, and this is woo-woo, and it's going to undermine everything I'm doing. And so I sort of buried this. This is why it's taken me 9 years to write this book, because I didn't want to talk about it, but I wanted to keep experimenting with it. I wanted to see why. And in every workshop I ran from then until now, anywhere I was in the world, the same thing happened. You know, we had a woman with cataracts who said she was 80% better. We had a woman with multiple sclerosis who showed up the next day without her crutches. We had a woman the other week who had been a stroke victim and her eyes did not focus. Mm-hmm. And after the little 10-minute, that's all we did, 10 minutes of a power of eight group, she said her eyes were focusing normally. We have had accident victims that were in real pain, couldn't move their shoulders, be normal. After that, we've had arthritis people saying, you know, they have no more pain anymore. They're walking normally. You know, and on, hundreds, basically thousands of people where we've had this kind of response. And so my book is really my attempt to find out why. How come this works? And why does it work just as well with the senders as the receiver? Because that dismissed the whole idea of a placebo effect. You know, the people, right. The senders were having the same. I was getting healings among the senders, too. Amazing healings. I mean, I think of a guy called Wes just about 6 weeks ago in Denver. He had been a Vietnam War vet. He was supposed to go to, you know, he was in the middle of college and he was, you know, going to be a scientist. And they took away his deferment. And so he had to fight in the last year of the war. And it was such a traumatic experience that he came home highly depressed and his life seemed to go on a downward spiral. And about the only light in his life was his second wife. He married in the 90s. And then she didn't last very long. She died of cancer and he had bills to pay. I mean, just an awful, awful story where everything, any attempt to, you know, he ended up having to drive a truck long distance just to pay the bills. Awful story. So he had got to the point at age 65 of sort of saying, what's the use? Mm-hmm. And he could barely get up in the morning to even make himself breakfast. He was in a kind of retirement, senior citizen kind of community type thing and was just had lost the will to live. And so he was part of this New Age church, that Mile High Church.
Sure.
That I was speaking in front of. And he and I recruited two groups to just be power of eight groups. He did not put himself forward as a sender, a receiver. He was a sender. Uh-huh. He sent intention for someone else. But then he came back a couple of days later and he said, it's unbelievable. I feel totally rejuvenated. That depression has lifted. The grass smell is more beautiful than it's ever been. The flowers smell sweeter. He was just bounding out of bed. He's now doing 90-minute power walks. He's gone back to writing. He even had a dream where he met his 19-year-old self who said to him, there's still time. I mean, it is the most amazing. I know, the most amazing experience and story. But he has totally rediscovered his life. The joy has come back into his life. And it was from the sending, not even the receiving. So that to me was just amazing.
So how do you explain something like this? Do you have any idea about what might be going on, Lynn?
Yeah, I do. And this is it. This is why it took me this long, because as I say, I wanted to research it from every angle. Uh-huh. First of all, there is what happens to the brain. Now, I wasn't just satisfied with just watching this. I had to find out what's going on with these guys. So I organized two kinds of studies. And the first study was one of, I worked with Life University, which is the largest chiropractic university in the world. And they put their psychology and neuroscience divisions at my disposal. And so we started looking at what happened with people who, you know, who go through this. And we just recruited a bunch of students. Most of them had never even meditated before. We put them into groups and then we put an EEG cap on one member of each group, a sender. And we found that consistently across all the groups, they had a global quieting of the brain of areas that are associated with feeling separate, of you feeling like, you know, separating out you from the rest of the world. The parietal lobes tell you where you end and the rest of the world begins. Well, they were turned way down. The other volume that was turned way down was on the frontal lobes, the parts of the brain that are involved with worry, doubt, negativity, down, and other areas quieted down. These were almost identical brainwave signatures to people like Buddhist monks in ecstatic prayer or Sufi masters, as recorded by the University of Pennsylvania. Identical brainwave signatures.
Wow. So we're talking about, it compares to people who have devoted their lives to sort of the spiritual ecstasy, that spiritual connection.
Absolutely. These were people in a state, an altered state, a mystical state, essentially.
Right.
And here's, you put your finger on it, Christine. These were not people who had spent years of study. These were not people who had spent hours to prime themselves into that state, like you would, let's say, if you're a Sufi master.
Right.
These are people who were able to enter it in 10 minutes, in an instant, basically. They were total novices, and all they had was a 13-minute video from me explaining how to do it. And this yet, they were transported into the miraculous.
This is absolutely amazing.
It was for me. I mean, and it was for Stephanie, Dr. Stephanie Sullivan, who is my neuroscientist who studied this. We were all shocked, you know, that this was going on because, you know, it said something really profound. It said, you know, you don't need years of discipline practice. You don't need ayahuasca or a sweat lodge. You just need a group, a small group, and a common intention. And there you are, fast track to the miraculous.
This is fascinating. We have to go to a quick break, but when we return, Lynn, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners how we too can become a part of a group so we can be a part of the Power of Eight. More with Lynn McTaggart here in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck. Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire? Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a 4-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or call 425-999-9836. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Lynn, I am really fascinated with how you've gone from intending in large groups of people to intending in small groups. And I know that you have seen power and effect in both realms. You mentioned something before the break about the Middle East experiment. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. That just, we ran that on November 9th, and this was an amazing fortuitous thing. I was approached by an Israeli documentary maker called Sipi Rez to run a Middle Eastern peace intention experiment. And it so happened the date we decided on was when I was doing a summit, a teleconference summit with a guy who is like the Deepak Chopra of the Middle East, a guy called Dr. Salah Al-Rashid. And he has a studio in England, and he beams out and sets up conferences in different Arab countries, in different cities in the different Arab countries. And so that they can see me and they can also talk to me. Each group can talk to me or talk to each other. So there are 9 screens, so we have a possibility of connecting with 8 other groups. So what okay, we did just was...
You're not there. So it's not like everybody's in one big room with you.
No. Okay. Everybody, groups of people are in different hotel rooms in different Arab countries. So that's how it works. And then they all see me as though they were in a conference together. And I can talk to each group individually, show them PowerPoint, all of that. So this time we set it up to be part of this experiment. So we hooked it. We did another hookup to an audience of Israelis in Jerusalem. And so I had people from 8 Arab countries, you know, Jordan, Oman, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, et cetera. And I also had a group of Israelis in Jerusalem. And so we did, and I also had thousands of people around the globe as my internet audience. And so we did a live feed through my YouTube channel, and we sent intention to the old city of Jerusalem, which has suffered a lot of violence. And it was a wonderful symbolic place because Jerusalem belongs to everyone and it belongs to no one, you know.
Right.
And so what was amazing was that, yes, we sent intention to lower violence. Yes, it will be monitored. But more interestingly was what happened afterward. I had the ability to talk to each screen and to have them talk so that everyone else could hear too. And so I asked different Arab groups, you know, from Oman and Bahrain, so do you want to say anything to the Israelis? And they said, you know, my God is your God. And the Israelis were crying and saying, we love you. And, you know, this was amazing. And it made the news all over the Middle East. I mean, it was incredible. There were stories about it all over the place. MPs were tweeting about it in Kuwait. Because what we don't appreciate in the West is that a lot of Arabs have never seen an Israeli before, and vice versa.
Wow, I had no idea.
Nor did I. They explained this to me afterward. They have never, they thought, you know, these are people with a tail and 2 horns. And
sure.
So the ability to share and connect. And I found this when I ran an intention experiment for 9/11. I, again, partnered with Dr. Al-Rashid, who invited his Muslim audience to partner with my Western audience and particularly American audience. And we came together to send intention to lower violence in Afghanistan, two provinces of Afghanistan for the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, we got in effect, at least according to NATO statistics, if, you know, there's a lot of variables here, so you can't claim, yes, we did this, but it looked very compelling. But more interesting was the connection between the Arabs and Americans. They began Facebooking each other on my Facebook page and befriending each other and also saying things like, your God is my God, and ultimately forgiving each other for 9/11. And there's a lot of science that shows when you get involved in this kind of altruistic activity, a whole cascade of things happen in your body that make you more able to connect with the other. And that's exactly what was going on with the 9/11 experiment and this Middle Eastern experiment. It was incredible. You know, we're winning the war in a different way.
So instead of, I mean, you're talking about the brain changes that keep people from feeling as separate. So even if you've never met or seen, you know, an Israeli and you're an Arab, it's the sort of thing where in the quantum field, that connection is made regardless of your, you know, your physical exposure.
Absolutely. And when you do this kind of a group intention, it activates a whole bunch of a big nerve in your body called the vagus nerve, which activates all of the caretaking parts of your body. So you feel closer to people who are not like you. And that explains why my peace experiment people, participants, were hugging strangers. You know, they were all feeling connected to the entire world.
Okay, Lynn, so you invited people to do this, these sorts of experiments. And obviously, as a former statistician, I know that the people who are going to volunteer for this are probably more open to that kind of connection, more open to helping to shift. How do we do an experiment to get more people involved and to see what kind of effect it might have?
Well, remember, a lot of the Arabs and Israelis who had done this weren't involved. You know, they had never done anything like this before in my experiment of November 9th. So, and also our experiments with Life University demonstrated that, you know, you can be a total novice at this. And, you know, I ran a year-long experiment myself, where I invited people to be part of a masterclass. I got 250 people and I taught them for 7 weeks on a teleseminar and then put them in groups of eight and observed them minutely over the year. Uh-huh. And pretty much of the people who stayed in groups and met every week with their group, and they met on Skype or Google Hangouts, pretty much 100% of them had major life transformations. I'm talking about... Absolutely. And this is where people can do this for themselves. You don't need to have a big intention experiment. You can create your own Power of Eight group. And they were, you know, we had somebody who had lifelong depression that was healed. We had somebody else with chronic fatigue, 15 years old, that, you know, 15 years of chronic fatigue, that was gone. We also had people get their dream jobs, have amazing financial windfalls when they needed it, rediscover their life's purpose, set up new businesses and have them thrive. It was incredible. And, you know, again, the statistician in you will say, you know, what's the odds against chance of 100% of people having major life transformations?
A p-value less than 0.00001.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So but know, this is the great beauty of it. It's so simple to do. And, you know, I have a place on my website, lynnmctaggart.com/forum, which allows people to set up Power of Eight groups in their time zone. And we have hundreds, I've just set it up, and we have hundreds already setting up and communicating and, you know, cross-fertilizing. And the great thing about it is, as I show in my book, you know, information about how to do intention and how to do these groups, it doesn't take much to set these up. And it is, you know, it's a wonderfully easy procedure that anybody can do.
So we're talking virtual groups then, is that right?
We're talking virtual groups. Of that group that I said I studied of 250, mm-hmm. most of them have never met each other. And yet A couple of years later, they're still meeting every week. It's become their intention family. They love each other. They've got each other's back. It's really quite amazing.
So are there benefits to not knowing each other as opposed to, with a spouse or children or best friends?
It's a great question, Christine. I think you can do it with anybody. I think you can do it with your best friends, your family, et cetera, et cetera. I think what is compelling about it, if you do it with strangers, is that you don't have that initial connection and you find it very quickly. I mean, when I'm doing a workshop, I usually say, you know, if I'm doing we're doing intention groups or whatever, it's better to be in a group of strangers because then you feel this amazing connection and you've never had a connection with these people before.
That makes sense. That makes sense. We're going to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more about the Power of Eight.
Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck. Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire? Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a 4-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or call 425-999-9836.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasik each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show with Lynn McTaggart here today. You know, Lynn, I'm just so excited about this work, and I'm really excited that you decided to go ahead and take your journalistic and scientific toe and put it in the woo-woo water. because the results are very encouraging, and I know people are going to want to get involved. How can our listeners connect with you and become a part of the Power of Eight?
Okay, well, they can connect with me and get information about our regular intention experiments, the big ones like the Middle East, and we've got really amazing technology now to do that, and also create their own Power of Eight groups and find out more on my website by just signing up to my website, lynnmctaggart.com. If they sign up and get my... Okay, it's Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, McTaggart, M-C-T-A-G-G-A-R-T. So it's A-R-T.
I promise you, if you Google it and you misspell her name, you're going to find your way to her. So
great.
Many fabulous books, and you know, your award-winning author, and you're doing groundbreaking research. And I'm kind of curious, Lynn. People were intending for others, and oftentimes we're really stuck. You know, we've gone through this long period of time where we have been focusing on what it is we want to manifest for ourselves, what it is we want to create. And actually, I think that people are getting kind of stuck. People who had mastered that at this point are feeling like life is tossing them about. They're not manifesting as easily as before, and they're feeling kind of disillusioned. Mm-hmm. Why should we sort of step away from all that self-intention?
Well, here's the interesting factor here. And I started looking into this with some of the people on that year-long masterclass. One of them, for instance, Andy, was stuck. Just as you say, she was going through a divorce. She had two young children. She'd sold her business and wanted to have some other kind of work. And no matter where she looked, she couldn't get the right work. And she was getting really frightened because she wasn't having steady income. She needed it, as I say, soon to be divorced. And so we started working on everything, all the things that you talk about, you know, go back to your first feeling of scarcity. Let's send an intention for that and all kinds of things. Her group kept intending for her. Nothing. Wasn't working. So I finally, in a fit of exasperation, said, Andy, get off of yourself. Stop intending for yourself. Start intending for someone else. And I had a perfect other in mind. This young guy called Luke, whose stepfather wrote me. He was 15 years old, and he broke up with his first major girlfriend. And in a fit of adolescent angst, he threw himself off a 40-foot structure onto hard ground. Now, every bone in his body was broken. He had nerve damage, he had brain damage, but he was living barely. The doctors weren't sure he was going to make it. So I asked our groups to set up a healing vigil for Luke. And we did it in three successive times while his stepfather sent us a running commentary of what was going on. And it was amazing. The times we sent intention were incredible moments where a lot of big shifts happened for Luke. And he ended up living and leaving the hospital in record time. Now, that could have been good doctoring, or it might have been us. We don't know.
Right.
But what was more interesting to me was what happened to people like Andy. The moment she got off of herself and started intending for Luke, out of the blue, she gets a call about a dream job.
Really?
I mean, absolutely amazing, amazing. And other people, same thing. Lisa Wheeler. Lisa wanted to write a book. She's a bodywork practitioner. She wanted to write a book because she'd made a big discovery about how to treat patients with trauma. She wanted to get that out there, but she'd never written a book before. She was very intimidated by it. She'd tried working with a couple of editors. It was going nowhere. She didn't think it was ever going to see the light of day. And she was also worried about marketing it and opening herself to criticism. So the groups was intending for her. It was going nowhere. So once again, Lisa got off herself and started intending for someone of a greater need who had big financial needs. And that next week, Lisa is walking by a store and has this uncontrollable urge to go in that store, even though she doesn't need anything in the store.
Okay.
She goes in, and there she sees somebody who is an acquaintance of a friend of a friend. She goes over to say hello. It turns out this person is a former publisher, which Lisa did not know. She's also a book coach, which Lisa did not know. And as they got talking, she finds out Lisa wants to write this book, and she says, I'll coach you through the whole process. And she does. She gets her all the right people. End of story. Lisa publishes her book. It becomes a number one Amazon bestseller. What so in several categories. Okay. So, you know, once again, it was the getting off of herself. But here's the interesting piece. I started looking into the power of altruism. Uh-huh. And I found that altruism isn't just a feel-good exercise. It's like a bulletproof vest. People who are engaged in altruistic activities live longer, are healthier. In every way, it's better to give and receive. But what happens is the giver ends up getting more.
Interesting. You know, one of the things I'm finding so fascinating, you've talked about stories of healing, right? And we can almost think that the being the giver could actually change your chemistry. It certainly changes your brain, and that could affect your physiology. But what you're talking about is people manifesting external circumstances and attracting those into their lives. How does that feel in coming from like the early journalism and science? Are you finding that a little astounding?
Yeah, I continue to find it astounding, and I kept looking for it. I mean, I found, I found different studies that spoke to that in a way, because they set up a whole thing in your body, I think, that sets you into positive or negative. There was one really interesting study looking at the difference between pleasure seekers, you know, those people who are looking to live what we define in America as the good life, you know, a lot of money, a lot of vacations, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah. And then they looked at them versus people who were maybe not as affluent, but focused on a life of meaning. They found that the pleasure seekers had terrible immune system markers. These guys were going to die very soon of Alzheimer's, heart attacks, you know, cancer, et cetera, all the degenerative diseases. They compared them with the other group, the people looking and chasing meaning in their lives, and they found they had amazing immune system markers. These guys were going to live forever. And that really, that kind of stuff over and over again demonstrates to me that getting off of yourself, you know, instead of the self-help movement, we need the other help movement, is probably the most powerful thing you can do for yourself. And, you know, even studies of, there was one study by a psychologist and priest looking at the power of prayer to heal mental illness. So he got a group of 400 people with clinical depression together, and he divided them into two groups. He had one group be the people getting prayed for, and then the other group were the people doing the praying. Right. And afterward, he looked at how they did, and he found that the people who were getting the praying did better. But the people who did so much better were the people who were doing the praying for them. So, you know, over and over again, you see this focus on the other has amazing benefits for yourself. And I, as I say, I had to get to a point where I became a believer. Mm-hmm. It was too overwhelming.
Yeah. And this is really astounding. And on some level, it just feels right, even though the information and the data is kind of surprising.
Well, it feels right to us because we've been told from the time we're children, do unto others. But we think, oh, yeah, that's just a good thing to do, a sacrificial thing to do. It actually is a necessary thing to do. It's probably, you know, I say in the book, other people are our salvation. You know, we are meant to be part of a bigger whole. And when we experience that, miracles happen.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And I want to share with our listeners again how they can become a part of the Power of Eight. Your website is lynnemctaggart.com, lynnemctaggart.com. What's next, Lynn, in like a minute or less? Where are you going next? Because I know that you've got some new research up your sleeve, right?
Well, my research is really now to roll this out. The peace experiment made us realize that this can do. This praying together is essentially secular prayer is what it is. This can do what all of the political processes can't do in a flash. If you could have seen those Israelis reaching out for those Arabs and vice versa, this is maybe the way for peace. It is, a very simple way that's the ground up, getting people involved. So I'm planning bigger and better peace intention experiments and watching as people reach across the aisle.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Lynn, it's been a joy.
Oh, it's been a great joy for me too.
And thank you all for joining us, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.